Luke chapter 4, verse 31 through 44. This is the reading of God's Word. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst of the people, he came out of him without doing him any harm. And amazement came upon them all. And they began talking with one another, saying, "What is this message? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district. Then he got up and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she immediately got up and waited on them. While the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on each of them, he was healing them. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak, because they knew him to be the Christ. When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Let us hear, and let our faith grow, and we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us meet our Lord. Let us have fellowship with him. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and what he has accomplished for us, so that we may rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Oh Father, we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, so that Jesus will be preached and he will be exalted. We thank you and we love you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, last week we read the same passage, and we saw through that passage the meaning and the purpose of the miracles of the Bible. We see many miracles that were performed by our Lord Jesus Christ, even in our passage, but throughout the book of Luke. Through those miracles, our Lord Jesus Christ witnesses the reality of heaven, the reality of God's people being gathered, and the reality of the furthering of the kingdom of God are witnessed through these stories. The kingdom of God is witnessed in this world. Obviously, there is no sin in heaven. Thus, there is no sickness in heaven. There is no evil spirits in heaven. And that reality is witnessed by what our Lord Jesus Christ is doing by healing these people, casting out demons. The citizens of heaven were under the rule of Satan and sin, but they were being saved out of those things. And that reality is witnessed and taught by the miracles that Jesus Christ performs. The reality of eternal jubilee is witnessed, and the reality of eternal release is witnessed. The reality of the eternal salvation of our God is being witnessed. The new creation is being accomplished. Well, since we saw the meaning and the purpose of the miracles last week, let us look at the event itself. Luke chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. And he, Jesus, came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority. Well, we see the same story in Matthew chapter 4, but there it explains why Jesus came down to Capernaum. This is what we read in Matthew 4. And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. So Matthew explains what is happening in Capernaum. So we could see that Jesus coming to Capernaum and doing what he is doing, all are to fulfill what was spoken through the Bible. And I pray that you would understand that. Nothing in the Bible just happens randomly. Everything is according to God's will. Jesus is rejected at Nazareth and comes to Capernaum, and he taught on the Sabbath. And here we see Jesus is teaching, Jesus is preaching, and that is the main purpose, teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we see this at verse 43. I was sent for this purpose, Jesus says, that he must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also. Even the miracles that he performs are in terms of his teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That statement is so important for you to understand. It's not just Jesus performing these miracles so that people will be amazed, so that they could follow Jesus. No. You know, back then, like circuses and the people who sell these magical medicines, they used to do these kind of fake miracles. Why? So that people will gather. That's the only reason. And so many people understand that people are gathering unto Jesus Christ because of these miracles. You got to understand, even these miracles, biblical miracles, are in terms of teaching and preaching the kingdom of God, the gospel of that kingdom. And the people are amazed at his teaching. Why? Because it says his message was with authority. Of course, God himself is speaking here. People are definitely amazed. It is the Word of God, the Creator of the whole universe. God himself is speaking. Mark chapter 1, verse 22 says it this way. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Luke chapter 4, verse 33 and 34. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Here, Jesus Christ casts out the spirit of an unclean demon. And that demon cries out, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Jesus, you have nothing to do with us or what we do," he is saying. "Have you come to destroy us?" Well, demon knows. Demon knows. First John chapter 3, verse 8b, "The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." It is interesting that the demon says, "Have you come to destroy us?" Notice he includes the person who is possessed by him. So demon is saying, "Do you come to destroy us?" Meaning him and the person who is possessed. Well, demon says, "I know who you are," and he says, "The Holy One of God." Well, Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 35b. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Yes, this child is holy, and he is the Son of God, and he is the Messiah. Demon, he knows. James chapter 2, verse 19. "You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder." The people who go to church, Christians, they usually accept the person as a Christian who says that he believes in the existence of God. But the Bible says the demons also believe and shudder. So you cannot just accept anybody who says, "I believe the existence of God." Demons know. That kind of faith cannot save that person. That kind of faith is actually used to reject God. That's not even faith at all. But, you know, I'm using the word faith in a general way because even non-Christians, they believe something. Everybody believes something. But is it saving faith? No. Otherwise, that this demon will be saved. The faith that does not truly trust God is not the true faith. Demon believes in God, and yet demon will never trust God. So you need to ask yourself, my faith, is this faith makes me trust God and entrust myself to Him? I keep telling you, even Cain, who killed Abel, he believes in God. He talked with God. God came to him. How can he reject God's existence when he talked to him? But he doesn't have saving faith. It's useless. Because it's the faith that even the demons have. Luke chapter 4, verse 35 through 37, "But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst of the people, he came out of him without doing him any harm. And amazement came upon them all, and they began talking with one another, saying, 'What is this message? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out.' And the report about him was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district. The word that we see here is Jesus rebukes the demon. The rebuking of God. It is the judgment of God. It is the same picture that we saw in Zechariah chapter 2 verse 2, chapter 3 verse 2. There God rebukes the Satan. Be quiet and come out of him. Verse 36 says that Jesus commands the demon. He doesn't do anything else, he just speaks to him. It is the word of God, the Creator. Everything obeys the word of God. Even the demons. The demon throws the person down and came out without doing any harm to the person. And you see God separating the person who is possessed from the demon. Separating light from darkness. People are amazed. Then they say, "What is this message?" Mark says, "What is this new teaching?" And we said this before. Notice that they refer to the miracle of Jesus as the message. Yes, it is the revelation of God. We already saw this, so we move on. Jesus has complete authority, and he just speaks. What is being witnessed through this miracle? Luke chapter 10 verse 20 says, "But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." So what is God, Jesus, as he casting out demon, witnessing to all of us? Through that miracle, Jesus witnesses that the kingdom of God has come. And that's the message. And we must understand these miracles according to the Bible. That's very, very important so that we don't be deceived out there. And our passage says the report about Jesus was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district. We move on to verse 38 and 39. "Then he got up and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she immediately got up and waited on them." Now Simon, as you know, Simon is Peter. He has different names in the Bible. Simon, Peter, Cephas. It says, Simon's mother-in-law is suffering from a high fever. And I want you to notice here that Peter, Simon, who is considered as the first pope by the Roman Catholics, he was married. That is why he has a mother-in-law. But obviously Roman Catholics will say, "No, no, Peter was never married." But Bible says he did. Cephas, 1 Corinthians 9:5, "Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife? Do we not have a right to have wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas?" Just like Peter, who has a wife, don't we have right to have wife? That's what Paul is saying. So, in Luke, we see that Peter has a mother-in-law. And 1 Corinthians tell us that Peter had a wife. But many, even today, believe that Peter was never married as the first pope. I could go into a lot of that, but let's move on. This mother-in-law of Simon had high fever. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 22 says that when the people sin, then the Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat and with the sore and with blight and with mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish. So, in the Old Testament, high fever is a picture of God's judgment. Thus here, not only Jesus heals her of her physical condition, but we see the reality of Jesus taking care of her sins as well. Again, Jesus rebukes the fever. And see what Simon's mother-in-law does as soon as she is healed. You know, so many people, they are just amazed. But Simon's mother-in-law, she immediately got up and waited on Jesus and the people. We need to remember, the health is given to us so that we may serve our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to ask yourself, why am I healthy? Why am I able to move around and do all these things? Well, Jesus gave it to you so that you could serve Him. So many people use their health that God has given them in the wrong thing. Even gaining the worldly things. Nothing wrong with having job and living your life. But if that becomes your main purpose, then you forgot why we live. Why did God give us health? He gave me help so that I could continue to preach Jesus Christ. And it was very clear, you know, a few weeks ago when I could not even move that easily. Luke chapter 4, verse 40 to the 41, while the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Him. And laying His hands on each one of them, He was healing them. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But rebuking them, He would not allow them to speak, because they knew Him to be the Christ. It says, while the sun was setting. A Jewish day is from sunset to sunset. You know, it's different from us. Our day starts at 12 midnight, right? But Jewish day is from sunset to sunset. In Genesis, we see a day from the sunset. Genesis chapter 1, verse 5b. And there was evening and there was morning. One day. So there's evening, beginning with evening. So, as soon as sun sets, what does that mean? Well, the Sabbath is over. So people now, they come out of their house. Because Sabbath was about rest, but in the Old Testament, it was earthly kind of rest, which was pointing to heavenly rest. So, here we see, as soon as the Sabbath is over, many bring the people who are sick. And here we see Jesus laying His hands on the people as He heals them. In Matthew, we see the story of Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law. Unlike in Luke that we just saw, there in Matthew, Jesus heals her, touching her hand. And He also heals many others. And this is, there it is explained why the touching of hand, laying of hand. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He Himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Jesus taking our infirmities and carrying away our diseases. This is the picture as we see Jesus laying his hand on these people. You know, some pastors today claim to heal, and they too put their hands on the people, but they actually believe, I hope they do, even though it's wrong. Thus, they misunderstand that their hands actually have some magical power. No, there's no power. Will something come out of your hand and heal you? It's Jesus taking our infirmities unto himself. And I know that pastor is not doing that. Well, he's saying, I'm going to take your sin and I will bear that sin. Is that what he's saying? What is he doing? And they say, I'm imitating Christ. I don't think so. Because if he is imitating Christ, then whatever that he's doing, that should be revelation of God. But he's not. It's not. Thus, we see the picture. Jesus, and he would not allow demons to speak. Why? Well, Bible says because they knew him to be the Christ. But why? Well, the time has not come yet. Until Jesus' resurrection, most of the time that you will see Jesus telling people, don't say anything. Why? Because Jesus must be preached in terms of his death on the cross. Otherwise, the gospel is so easily misunderstood in terms of this world. And that happens today too in some churches. Just, they say it's gospel, but it's without suffering, without the cross, without dealing with people's sin. So that it becomes worldly gospel, which is not gospel at all. Luke chapter 4, verse 42 through 44. When they came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. In Mark, we're reading Luke, but in Mark, it is said that Jesus went to a secluded place to pray. But Luke doesn't say that. Jesus says, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also. Thus, whatever he has done in Capernaum, we must understand all of those things in terms of preaching the kingdom of God. He says that he was sent for that purpose. The gospel that Jesus Christ preaches is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Casting out the demons and healing the sick are all a part of preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And this I repeat again and again because it is so important that you understand that. The kingdom of God, heaven. Like I said many times, heaven is a place where there is no sin. Thus, no demons nor the sickness. That reality of that glorious place is witnessed as Jesus performs these miracles. Of course, Jesus himself is being witnessed also. And Jesus himself says that the preaching the kingdom of God is why he has been sent. And I just want to say to you very clearly that our church's purpose is the same. It's to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, so these events, these stories, what are they due to with us? Well, Bible is all about the gospel. the gospel literally means good news. But if the stories of the Bible do not have anything to do with us, then they cannot be the good news for us. As we have seen so many times, the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. And because of our union with Jesus Christ, the Bible is also about us. Thus, the Bible is the gospel to us. And today's example is very excellent example, sorry. The story of Jesus casting out the demons is our story. It's your story. You might say that you were never possessed by the demon. Are you sure? What does the Bible say? Well, we weren't possessed by demons that we see in TVs or horror movies. Of course not, because those things don't exist. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, you are dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. When you were dead in sin, you walked according to the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Who are these people, sons of disobedience? Well, non-Christians. So we used to walk according to the spirit, which is now working in non-Christians. Which means non-Christians are possessed by these spirits. It's not alarming. You and I are possessed by the Holy Spirit. And non-Christians are possessed by the evil spirits. It's not shocking. It's just reality we already knew. So whether it is Christians or non-Christians, some spirit is living. But in us, it's the Holy Spirit. So the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, that is of the spirit now is that is now working in the sons of disobedience, spirit that is now working in non-believers. So according to the Bible, all non-believers are possessed by the demons, the evil spirits. It's not something to be amazed by it, it's just the reality. But the Hollywood has to show those evil spirits in a non-biblical way that people think, oh, I'm not possessed by that. Of course you're not. I mean, not you, non-Christian. But when you see non-Christian walking, you're seeing a possessed person. Just like when they see me, they're seeing a possessed person. But I'm possessed by the Holy Spirit. The angels, these evil spirits, they're angels that were fallen with Satan. That's who they are. When we see the horror movies, we see the spirits of the dead people hovering over the air. The Bible does not allow this. When the non-Christian die, their spirits immediately go to hell. The spirits of the Christians immediately go to heaven. So what is these spirits of dead people remaining in this world? Bible doesn't allow it. But that's how Hollywood will show you. I mean, isn't it very clear that non-Christian, when they die, their spirit will immediately go to hell? Our spirit, it will immediately go to heaven. I mean, why is that shocking? And yet, People believe this stupid thing. Please, understand these things according to the Bible. All right. Now, you and I, when we did not believe, we are possessed by these evil spirits that is now working in the sons of disobedience. But the Holy Spirit came to us and He recreated us in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit casted out the demons that were in us and He Himself now lives in us. Exorcism happened to me and happened to you. Even though we did not see it, we did not feel it, but God came and casted out that evil spirit from us and He Himself is now residing in us. It happened to us. It's our story. Jesus Christ has rebuked the evil spirit that were in us. He told them to be quiet and come out of us. And they did. The story of Jesus casting out demon in our passage is our story. It actually happened to us. Jesus said to the demon, come out. Jesus said about us, He said as He was telling the spirit, that evil spirit in me, He says to come out, and He said, He is mine. Young Kim is mine. I will live in him. And that's exactly what happened. Let me ask you a question. Can a demon coexist with the Holy Spirit in the same person? No. You know how clean it has to be for the Holy Spirit to come in? That reality was witnessed in the Old Testament by sprinkling the blood to cleanse the place. Jesus' blood has cleansed me. I'm so clean. I'm not talking about my outward physical cleanness. Even that, I take shower. I'm clean. But inside, you know how clean I am? If the Holy Spirit could live in me, just imagine how clean I must be. If there's any filth in me, He cannot come in and live. So with the blood of Jesus Christ, I am so cleansed. And the evil spirit cannot come in when the Holy Spirit lives in me. So this whole stupid teaching that Christians, their church members are demon-possessed, and the pastor is trying to cast out demon from his member, his own church, Christian. Just walk away, get away. Bible doesn't teach that kind of thing. No true Christian can be possessed by a demon. Now, casting out a demon, exorcism, did it happen here in our church? Yes. Whenever a non-Christian comes to our church and becomes a Christian, then we are able to say that what we see in our passage has happened to that person in our church. That's exactly what happened to that person. Not just that person, but for all of us. Thus, the story of Jesus casting out the demon witnesses what happened to us when we were saved. Now the story of Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law is also our story. All the sickness, they are the results of sin. Before sin came in, there was no sickness. Adam will live forever. He will not die. And we see Jesus healing these sick people, brings health to them. It points to the reality of heaven in which we have the eternal health. When we go to heaven, we will never be sick. There is no sickness in heaven. Jesus Christ has healed all of us forever. So our spirit will never get sick anymore. And when we resurrect from the dead, our body will not get sick anymore. But that eternal health of heaven has already been given to us. We possess that eternal health of heaven in Jesus Christ even today. And that is our eternal heavenly reality. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things passed away. See, death, mourning and crying and pain, all these things belong to this world. And all will pass away. And spiritually, all are already passed away. Because there is no spiritual sickness anymore. Physical, yes, because our body has not been resurrected from the dead yet. Yes, in this world, Christians will be sick and will die, but we have the eternal health of heaven in Jesus Christ. And when we go to heaven, we'll never be sick again. Never die again. So brothers and sisters, these stories, these miracle stories in the Bible are your stories. Whatever you see that is happening, our story has happened to you spiritually. That's the message. That's why we study these. Otherwise, then, okay, it happened 2,000 years ago, so what? What is that to me? But you have to remember, I have to say this because there's so much misunderstanding. Now in the year 2021, the healing of the sick in this world is according to the common grace order. It's not the revelation of God. Even the non-Christians will be healed of sicknesses. But the non-Christians will die and die forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He Himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases forever. Man, I almost miss it. Thus, the eternal healing, the eternal health is completely and perfectly accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ for us. Jesus Christ casts out the demons as He saves His chosen people and furthers His kingdom of God. And that is what we see in the book of Luke. And that reality, God casting out demons and furthering His kingdom, actually continues today. Even in our church, Even though we do not see it with our physical eyes, it happens. It will continue until that last person who is chosen will be saved. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It clearly shows us who Jesus Christ is and what he is doing, what he has done. Oh Father, we thank you that all these things happen to us, that it is our stories, that it is our reality. Oh Father, let us study it very well, that we may know what has happened to us, that we may know what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, that we may enjoy to the full extent all the benefits of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. So we may rejoice and give him all the glory. We thank you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.